This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Roshan and Noelle. 7:37 a.m, Monday the 30th of November. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill. Roshan, what's happening today?
I'll be speaking with Danny Leong, CEO of GHL Systems, a one-stop e-payment solution provider. And they've seen their transactions, at least for the first half of the year, rise 30% or thereabouts. And on top of that, they've seen their stock price double this year to date. So a lot of excitement around the e-payments and e-wallets and digital payments as people stopped using or used cash less. So with all this in mind, is this a stock that you want to keep on your watch list or maybe even add it to your portfolio? Tune into the conversation to find out, especially with GHL tapping its existing merchant ecosystem to sell and monetize other types of services.
Interesting stuff. So that's going to be happening later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Be sure to stay tuned. But right now, we are turning our attention to what's been happening in Hong Kong, where last Wednesday, Chief Executive Carrie Lam delivered her annual policy address, setting out the strategic direction for the island city. And this is, of course, amidst a COVID-19 pandemic and political dissent that has crippled Hong Kong's economy.
Yes, I think in any policy address, I think she needs to address short-term issues as well as longer-term issues for Hong Kong. So as we know, Hong Kong has seen its GDP shrink by 9% in second quarter and by 3.5% recently in the third quarter results compared to a year ago. So overall, the government is targeting that the economy will probably shrink by 6.1% this year.
So, of course, how does Carrie Lam's policy blueprint provide a guide out of this recession? For some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us this morning Michael Frank, Senior Analyst of Public Policy at the Economist Intelligence Unit. Michael, thank you for joining us. So let's start with the politics of this. Did Carrie Lam's policy address throw up anything new in terms of her government's stance on the national security law or Beijing's political oversight?
Nothing new, really. And I think, you know, the general consensus around the address is that it wasn't a very ambitious address, and it mostly focused on housing, local development, and initiatives that that we had seen before, particularly the Greater Bay Area, GBA, and Lantau. Tomorrow, a plan to develop a new city cluster for housing and residential space. Ultimately, I think there's something we can take away from this, though. The Lam administration wants to present national security law as a done deal, and in some ways, minimizing discussion of it is how they are communicating that there's nothing really to debate. And really, the only mention of it in this address is that there needs to be a clarification of understanding. That it's the public's fault for not understanding what the law intends to do and how it will affect their lives. That's the same line that that the administration has used since the extradition bill was first introduced over a year and a half ago.
And do you agree with that line of narrative, her line of narrative?
I'm not really sure. If the question is, do I think it will work? they are going to have to engage with the public on this because there is not an agreement between the administration and the public how this is going to affect Hong Kong, and they have some work to do in terms of convincing a skeptical public that this is really in the city's best interest. Ultimately, when you take this in tandem with the other measure that was mentioned, which is revising the electoral system, the public is going to be very skeptical about any further developments on national security law until it seems that that something like genuine universal suffrage or Hong Kong civil liberties are put back on the table as a priority.
So coming back to the speech there, Michael, she focused heavily on, as you mentioned as well, the GBA, right? The Greater Bay Area Initiative. And this is an initiative to create a powerhouse spanning 11 cities. What's been the domestic reaction to this? Is it seen as a lifeline for the Hong Kong economy or maybe a recognition that it's losing its status as the global financial hub? What do you think?
I don't think that people view GBA generally as mutually exclusive with Hong Kong's role as a financial services hub. And it could be hugely positive. You know, mainland markets are opening right now to financial services in particular, particularly in the insurance, asset management, and wealth management sectors, where Hong Kong really has a competitive advantage, not just over the other cities in the GBA, but also Shanghai and Beijing. And so there is a huge opportunity here. The question is, does the mainland trust Hong Kong enough at this point so that Hong Kong really can leverage its strengths in the GBA, or is that lingering skepticism over the protests, will that lead the mainland to instead try to build up a competitor to Hong Kong in the GBA? Certainly, you've seen some measures in Shenzhen promoting that city as a potential financial services rival as well. The question is whether the industry would go along with it.
So, Michael, Carrie Lam's speech was also seen by some as thin on immediate economic relief measures for the people of Hong Kong. Would you agree with this sentiment? And perhaps you could give us some insight into what perhaps might be needed here.
I'd agree. And I think, you know, partly is it's reflective of the fact that it's really a couple of sectors that are getting crushed by the pandemic and the associated lockdowns. But the rest of the economy is actually quite resilient. You look at financial services, for example, the city's sector is doing quite well. But even if you know, we're light on immediate economic relief measures, there are some initiatives that were announced, in particular around training. Training initiatives do seem to be growing, which is a plus. Those benefits typically accrue over the long term, but it's a good idea to boost investment and participation during a downturn. So for the sectors that are really struggling, in particular tourism and the food and beverage industry, I wouldn't be surprised if you see some more measures on the side introduced in the coming weeks, particularly as we're going back into lockdown here with our fourth wave.
One new initiative that she announced under the Stock Connect scheme is to allow global funds to tap on Shanghai's star market via Hong Kong and for China-based investors to invest in pre-revenue biotechs in Hong Kong. Do you expect the likes of Alibaba and others will eventually be included in this scheme?
Well, I think the trend is very positive that you do see greater integration between mainland financial markets and Hong Kong. And, you know, big priority is the wealth management scheme, really, which is going to open up that subsector considerably between the mainland and the city. And that was called out as a priority for the next few years.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Michael. That was Michael Frank, Senior Analyst of Public Policy at the Economist Intelligence Unit, talking to us about what's been happening over in Hong Kong and giving us some insight into Carrie Lam's recent speech that she made on Wednesday. And I think what it boils down to was, as he said, it's especially ambitious speech, not what you would call replete with lots of measures to assist the Hong Kong economy. So I guess it's going to be There's still a lot of questions over how Hong Kong is going to recover in the wake of all of the disruption that it's been seeing over the past few years.
And on top of that, she did spend a lot of time on the Greater Bay Area. And now I think Michael pointed out some points there, right? Essentially, what is Hong Kong's role there? Because is the mainland going to trust Hong Kong on the back of everything we've seen? So that's something to pay attention to.
I think this development on the Stock Connect scheme, broadening access, and if eventually when it does include secondary listings, I think we're going to see Hong Kong continuing to solidify its position as a global financial center.
We'll be watching this space for developments, but right now we are heading into some messages. And up next, speaking with Dr. Oi Sun of the Singapore Institute of International Affairs on whether the opposition can remain ununited under Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.